Amen, amen. Come on, Believers Chapel. Hey, come on. He has risen. Give him a mighty shout in Jesus' name. Come on. Oh, this is the day, baby. This is our day. We celebrate today the beautiful victory that we have over Satan, sin, death, hell, and the grave, baby. All victorious because of our King, Jesus Christ, who put himself on a cross and God raised him from the dead. How beautiful it is that you and I have the victory. And I say this, baby, we ought to act like it, right? We better act like we got the victory in Christ. We're not walking in defeat. We're walking in victory. We got to understand this. We got to talk like this. We got to act like this. We got to speak like this. And by all means, we're going to preach like this. You okay with that? Yeah. Let's go. Come on. We are excited that we celebrate Resurrection Sunday today with my bride. What's up, beautiful?
Amen. Looking Happy so Easter. Good.
Come on. Amen. Hey, we just want to say Friday night was incredible, man. Friday night was such a blessing. My favorite service is Good Friday. Man, for us to be able to come in and focus on sin being dealt with. One time and for all, sin has been dealt with. I love preaching on the cross. The cross is our victory over sin. Man, Jesus Christ took the hit for you and me, and he went through that whole what it meant, that payment was made. And then, man, the drama through the roof, worship through the roof. Man, attendance was packed. Like, church, Good Friday was truly an awesome, awesome service. If you missed it, go to Facebook. You can watch it. It's worth it. It was so good, man. Our drama team just crushed it, man. They put time in and it was incredible. Our props and our pillars and just like everything was amazing. And I'm just so grateful. Honestly, Renee and I, as we lead this church and lead this great congregation, we have a great staff and we have a great team. And I want you to know, man, your team works so hard and they put things together for us in such a beautiful, beautiful way. And then our volunteers are top, man. The volunteers of Believers Chapel through the roof, man. We cannot do it with our volunteers. And we are so thankful and we're so blessed in what God is allowing us to do here in this church and winning this community. And we are winning this community. God is doing a mighty work in this community. And we are so blessed to be in the position that we are as Believers Chapel. That's you and that's me. That's us as a church, right? That's us as a congregation and an assembly. And if you're new to BC, man, we're truly juiced you're here today. It's a great day. If you're like, wow, that was like, woo, that was like, I don't know, that was loud. That was like lights. And that was like people like excited about Jesus. Welcome to Believers Chapel. We are excited about Jesus. And we're excited to honor and worship and glorify the Lord. If we know that he is alive, man, let's honor him and let's glorify him and let's worship him. And I'm just excited that you chose today to be here. And I'm pumped about it. Come on, Renee Obergfeld. What do you think, baby?
Amen. We do have the victory.
We have the victory.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And Renee and I was privileged enough to open Believers Chapel in our living room, in our house. Worship leader Brennan and Teresa, they were with us all the way. Katie was with us as well, which is awesome. So we've got people who are just longevity and loyal and just serving, still serving today and leading you today. And this all started in our living room in 2009. And just the mighty work that the Lord has done, right? The mighty work that the Lord has done. What a privilege. And man, church, like this is the beginning. There is so much more for Believers Chapel. There's so many more ways to be able to serve this community. And I'm just excited about where we're at. I'm pumped about where we're going. And I see God's hand working just truly powerfully in this region. And again, all of us are in this boat together, right? We're all in the same boat. And we just want God to move in a powerful way. Baby, I love you.
Amen.
Come on.
Love you.
Amen.
Yes.
What do you got, baby? What do you got?
Yes. I have 1 Corinthians 15:56, and it says, "The sting of death, sin, and the power of sin by which it brings death is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be confident, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, always doing your best, in doing more than it is needed, being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." And so we just want to encourage you all today. We are just so blessed. We're so thankful for all of you. We thank you that God has just placed this church here in Olean, New York, and we just have the privilege of being with you to serve the King, and what an honor it is. You know, and so we just love you. We thank you. We just pray that you have a wonderful Resurrection Sunday with your family. And, you know, I just love springtime. I love just the hope that it brings and new life springing up and just how it reminds us that there is always hope, you know? And God has a plan and he has a great future for you. No matter what is happening in your life, you can believe and know that God is working all things together for your good. He loves you and he has a great plan for you. So we just say God bless you and just have a wonderful, wonderful Easter Sunday and be blessed as we celebrate.
And we have Bibles. If you do not have a Bible, like today's Easter, we want to bless you today with a Bible. We had many go out in the first service. If you want a Bible, we want to bless you with a Bible. And we are so thankful. Anonymous donor gave some money for Bibles. We bought 100 Bibles, and they're nice Bibles. They're not the Bibles, the paperback for $4.99 that you can't read, that you don't read. Like, seriously, like, we have never done that. Like, I know there's the $4.99 Bible that this print is like this, and it's paper, and you just can't read it, right? No, we're like, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. And these are really, really nice Bibles that we give away. And if you do not have a Bible and you want a Bible, please stop by the table, see my man John Sheehan, and we will bless you with a Bible today. Come on. Amen, baby. Come on. Pray, baby. Pray.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful Resurrection Sunday, Father. We thank you, Lord, that your word is alive and powerful, Lord. We thank you for just new life springing up all around us, Father. And we just thank you for these amazing people that are here, God. And we just know, God, that we can forget the former things, Father, that we look to our future, Lord God, with hope. And Lord, we know, God, that you have a wonderful plan for each and every single person here, God. And we just ask, Father, that through the preaching of your word today, Father, that you would reveal it to each and every heart that is here in this place, Father, that we do have the victory in Jesus' name and that the sting of death has no power over us now. And so we just thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus, that God, you conquered death, hell, and the grave, Lord, that we will live victorious, Father. And we give you thanks and praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, amen. Thank you, baby. Amen. Come on, turn with me, please, to the book of Mark, please. The book of Mark. And we're gonna look at, we're going somewhere today. We're going to have a journey today. We're taking you through from where we left off on Friday, from the cross, all the way to the resurrection. And we're going to see some things today that I want you to really see. Because as we look to what it is to truly show honor to Jesus, if today's the day that it really is that we celebrate, if today is our day, right? If today is the day of the church, the day of the Lord, if today is that day that we celebrate that Jesus Christ lives, that he's no longer in the grave, that after 3 days, God the Father raised his son from the dead. And if we truly believe this and we know this and we celebrate this, then we have to know there has been, with the victory, there's been a lot of defeat. Satan was defeated. Greater is he who's in me than he is in the world. Satan's just buying his time. There is a day that he gets wrapped up and he's thrown into hell for an eternity. That day is coming, right? So we know that Satan's defeated. But by Jesus Christ on a cross, sin was defeated. Jesus alive now, Satan defeated. Death has been conquered. Sin has been conquered. Hell has been conquered. The grave has been conquered. Church, what does it truly look like if you really believe what we celebrate today? Then it means, listen, no, we have victory. And like, what is to not fear death? What is it? Even as we sung today, like there is this moment of change, in a simple moment of change, absent from this body, is to be present with the Lord. What is it to really believe that once I breathe my last tear, because I've trusted and believed in Jesus, man, I have everlasting eternal life with him, and death won't touch this. Like when you really believe, death is dead. The very essence of death has been defeated. Like death is dead and death can't touch. Like how does that change us? Like, how does that move in us to realize, no, man, in Christ, praise the Lord, Jesus lives, therefore I live and I live forever with him because victory over death. Like, when we believe that, man, it should do something in our spirit. And today we're going to go from the cross all the way to the resurrection. And then we go into a place, well, where there is a therefore. Therefore, if you believe this, then we should act like this. I want you to understand where we're going right from the front. because we're going to preach for a while, and then we're going to get to the therefore. So we're going to preach in order to understand. If we really believe in the resurrection, which we do, and I hope that you do, if we really believe that, therefore, we do this. So today, man, we're going to get into this, and I'm excited that you're with us. Come on, look at this. Let's look at Mark 15 with me, please. And we're going to look at two different gentlemen. And we're going to look at a guy named Joseph and a guy named Nicodemus. Because I think it starts with honor. And I don't ever want honor to be lost, right? We shouldn't ever lose honor. We should always honor and adore. The word blessed in the Old Testament, it's barak, and it means to show a deep adoration. Whether that's kneeling or bowing, or that's action and words, what it means to truly honor and show a deep adoration. Like, we as people should be honoring and showing a deep adoration to the Lord, right? We should be showing honor to one another. We should be showing honor to our parents. We should be showing honor to our workplace. We should be showing honor to family. Like, I think that honor has kind of been a thing of the past. And I think we need to bring back what it means to truly show honor and respect. We need to show honor and respect to our law enforcement. We need to show honor and respect to our military who are fighting to keep us free. We need to show honor and respect to our family and to our parents and to brothers and sisters. And we need to show honor to those that we work with. And like, I think there's something lost in that. And when you see, just reading through this, there is this beautiful picture of what honor really looks like from two of the most unexpected people. Here you've got Jesus. Went through the whole death on a cross. And here he hangs on a cross and now he's dead. And it's like, okay, what do you do with his body? And when the Romans were just professionals at crucifixion, they would just line up crosses at the road and people would be hanging dead on a cross. They didn't care what happened to the body. They generally would just leave them on the cross, and birds and animals and vultures and different things would just come and just peck at the decaying, deceased bodies. This was just like, if you were coming into Rome, it was like, don't be a criminal because this is going to be you. That's what that was. So there was no plan for Jesus' body. And they had to take it off because of the Sabbath. So when you look at this, there's times that if time permits, bodies just stay on the crosses. And at times, it could take up to 6 days for someone to die on a cross. And then the body just sits there to decay and get picked at by animals and birds and vultures. So what would happen to Jesus' body? If someone would take a body down and there was no place to bury him, they would throw him in this place called the Valley of Gehenna. And this is actually referenced by Jesus as a symbolic place that he references hell. And it's where there's this trash pit, and it's like the dead bodies and dead animals and people's bodies with no tombs. They would just put them on this trash pile and just light it up. And that's where some of these bodies would go. So what was the fate of Jesus' body? Like, you would think that his family would be there. Like, where was his family? Where was his brothers? Where was his sisters? Like, you would think that they would be there to honor their brother. You think that they would be there as their family hangs on a tree, that they would be the ones first in line to take Jesus' body down and go give Jesus an honorable burial. Family nowhere to be found. Actually, they thought he was insane. They were ashamed of their brother. And then where were the disciples? Where were the ones that walked with him and talked with him for 3 years? Where were the ones that saw the miracles? Where were the ones who were like, oh, I'll die with you. I'll go to prison for you. I'm with you. I'm for you to the end. Where were they? Disciples nowhere to be found. So church, who is it that's going to honor Jesus and take him off the cross and give him a proper burial? Well, the two most unlikely persons would be two members of the Sanhedrin. Both of these men were a part of the Sanhedrin. Both of these men were in that group. If you remember the Sanhedrin is that group of chief priests and scribes and Pharisees and elders. It's that council of men that actually put Jesus to death. These are the ones that were fighting for his death. This is that group that was fighting for Jesus' death. You saw it in the drama on Friday night. It was that chief priest and the scribes and the elders that were saying, no, he has done this, and he has done that, and he's done this, and he's done that. And these were the ones who put Jesus to death. But the Bible says there was one named Joseph who was a good and righteous man. He was kind, he was generous, he was just. They say that Joseph was waiting for the kingdom of God. They say Joseph, watch this, he was a secret follower of Christ. He was in fear of the Jews because he was on that team, right? He was one of those guys. He was that guy that was on that team. But yet the Bible is very clear. He was not consenting with the others to put Jesus to death. That wasn't him. He's not the one yelling, crucify him. He's not the one saying, hey, let's vote. What should we do with him? Put him to death. Joseph wasn't that guy. Joseph didn't consent to putting Jesus to death. The Bible says that he was good, he was righteous. Matthew says that he was rich. It's amazing because this whole account is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four Gospels. And so who is Nicodemus? You'll know Nicodemus from John 3. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He's a part of that Sanhedrin. And Nicodemus is that one Pharisee that there was something about Jesus. Man, I got to go out in the secret of the night. Nicodemus is on that ninja mission, right? Like he doesn't want anyone to see him, but he's got to have this one-on-one with Jesus. Like, so he sneaks through the middle of the night and goes find Jesus. Say, hey, listen, I got to know, man, there's something about you. Like what is happening with you? You have more authority. You're doing miracles. You're doing things that no man could ever do unless you're from above. Nicodemus saw something in Jesus. And this is when Jesus gives that amazing, amazing message. Then the amazing verse of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, for whoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see this verse everywhere. You see it during Super Bowls. You see it during World Series. You see it on people's tattoos. You see it on people's bumpers. And if you don't even know Jesus, you know John 3:16. But maybe what you don't know is that whole famous verse was given to one man. It wasn't given to the masses. It wasn't given on the Sermon on the Mount. It wasn't given to the large crowd that would come. That was given to one man who had to secretly sneak out and go find Jesus in the dark of night because he was concerned about what everyone else would think because he was a part of the bad team. That was given to one man. The two most unlikely people give us this incredible, beautiful picture of what honor really looks like. When everyone else had left, when everyone else has abandoned, there was these two men who showed great honor to Jesus as he hangs on a cross. Church, I look at this and I think, man, how many times maybe in your life, I love it, man. I am surrounded by great people. I am surrounded by great people. But maybe sometimes in your life you have Just people have abandoned you and people have left you and you're like, oh, I really need somebody. What is happening right now? Where is everybody? I thought these were my friends. I thought these were my family. And maybe you've been in a place where you're just like, ah, what's happening? I need somebody right now. Where is everybody? And man, we pray and we believe, and I believe this. I love this story because when there was nobody else, there was the unexpected. When there was nobody else, there was still that advocate set aside. There was still that one. There was even that second one who came along as an advocate, as a surprise. And I believe that this is true for us. When we think that there's nobody, I believe that there is still an advocate, that surprise advocate that will be the advocate that you need, that is completely unexpected. And this is that story. Let's look at this with me, please. Mark 15. Verse 43, it says this, and this is after Jesus is still hanging on the cross, and this is what it says. And when evening had already come, because it was the preparation day and the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea came, a prominent member of the council, who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. I love this. Watch this. Highlight this. And he gathered up courage. Joseph of Arimathea came a prominent member of the council. He's on the Sanhedrin. He's a big deal. He himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. That he had a fear of God. He had a reverence for God. And I love this. He had to conjure up some courage. When you read all four accounts of Joseph, they're very short. But when you read them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it says that he was in fear. Could you imagine, though, put yourself in Pilate's shoes. Right? Pilate didn't give two flips about Jesus. Pilate didn't give two rips about the Jews. Right? He didn't give a hoot about the Sanhedrin. But it was the Sanhedrin who came to Pilate and said, listen, we don't have a law to put him to death, so we want you to do it for us. We need you to put him to death. And there was this begging, and there was this all this crazy that was going back and forth. And Pilate finally like, listen, he's innocent, whatever. He's your guy. Like, Pilate had to go through all of this, all of this. Then all of a sudden, a member of that Sanhedrin comes before Pilate and says, hey, I want to honor him. Aren't you a part of the team that told me to kill him? Aren't you that part of that crew? I went out of my way to crucify one that you came before me, and I knew your game. It was only because of envy. He was innocent. You had me put an innocent man to death, and now you want me to give him your body so that you can honor him? Could you imagine what that must have looked like? Because you can be a secret soldier for only so long. We are called to be bold and unashamed of the gospel. And the moment that Joseph built up the courage to go public, that he was a follower of Jesus, you could imagine what everyone else was thinking. So when you look at true honor, you got to believe that true honor takes courage. True honor takes courage. And Joseph built up enough courage, and he went before Pilate, and he asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate wondered if he was already dead at this time, and he summoned the centurion and questioned him as to whether he was already dead. And ascertaining from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Hey, like, it's not been days. Like, what's happening? Like, is Jesus dead? You want Jesus' body? Well, I got to see if he's dead first. And this is huge. I want you to see this, because one of the lies that's told, the resurrection is a big deal. Please hear me. In faith, the resurrection is a big deal. And if the enemy can bring out lies to try to discredit the resurrection, like Jesus was never actually raised from the dead, this is one of those lies. One of the lies is that Jesus never actually died. Nope, he just blacked out up there. Everyone thought he was dead. Yep, and then he woke up. Well, this is proof positive that Pilate goes to the centurion that's at the cross and says, hey, is he dead? You know, whatever you do to check a dead guy's pulse or whatever with a spear coming out of his side, like, hey, Pilate, he's out, bro. He's done. Like, the goose is cooked. Yes, Jesus is dead. And then watch this. So Joseph brought a linen cloth and took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of rock, and rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were looking on to see where he was laid. So you've got Joseph, and the Bible says in John 19 that Nicodemus was with him. Could you imagine the scene of trying to get Jesus off the cross? He's got this 8-inch spikes going through both wrists and going through his feet. Here, his body has been so shredded, there's not really a place to grab. Like when you try to, like, how do you get a wrist, how do you get that off a nail? Like, are you prying that nail out of the wood? Are you prying the nail out of the wood to go through his feet? Are you lifting him? Just does he fall limp and dead on your shoulder where his body is just completely, completely shredded? Where were the disciples? Where was his family? The one person that was most unexpected said, I want to honor Jesus. I'm no longer a secret servant of the king. And he takes him off the cross. And Nicodemus and him bring the perfume. They didn't embalm dead bodies. They wrapped them in linen and put a bunch of spices and perfumes to just kind of bring the right scent to a dead body. And then they put him in a tomb. The Bible says that Joseph was a rich man and that it was actually his tomb. And again, when you really truly believe that God had a plan and Joseph is just a player in the plan. Because Isaiah 53:9 says that Jesus was buried in a rich man's tomb. Prophesied in Isaiah 53 that all of this, every piece of this would come true. Church, what is it for you and I if we really believe in the resurrection? And today we shout, we celebrate, we're amazed. He is alive, he is risen. Like we believe this, we live this. But it should do something to us to say, okay, even as Joseph and Nicodemus honored the Lord, where is my honor to my risen King? He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. He is the King eternal. Like we know that he is King of the nations. He is King. How is it that we honor our King? Do we honor him? Do we show adoration to him? Does it show up in our action, in our words? Does it show up in our worship? Psalm 103, verse 1, please, if you could put that up. I just want to spend some time on this because we're going somewhere in a place of if I really believe that Jesus is King, and if I really believe that today we celebrate, we have the victory over Satan, sin, hell, and the grave because of what Jesus did for us. If I believe that, then it should do something in me. Where is my honor to Jesus as my King? I love this. Bless the Lord. The word bless, it means to show deep adoration. To show deep adoration, that's honoring. I want to bless the Lord, all my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. All that is within me, from the inside out, I want to show my King a beautiful place of honor because he lives, because he's alive. Psalm 104, verse 1, please. Bless the Lord, all my soul. The Lord, my God, you are very great, for you are clothed with splendor and majesty. For you are clothed with splendor and majesty. God, you are great. And church, what is it to truly show honor to the Lord? Jesus was raised from the dead by the Lord and by God. And what is it to truly honor and show reverence and show deep adoration for the Lord? Like, I don't ever want to lose that, man. I don't ever want to take God for granted. God, you love me that you would send your only begotten son for me. And I never want to take you for granted. When you start losing honor to the Lord, you start taking him for granted, right? When you start losing honor in a workplace, you start losing honor at home, you start losing honor in relationships, you start losing honor in marriage, you start taking each other for granted. What happens when we're like, no, God, I want to bless you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. You sent your son for me, and I want to walk in deep adoration to you. I want to honor you. Church, never take this victory for granted. Never take the victory that God the Father raised his son from the dead and has given us victory over death. It's beautiful. Come on, let's look at this story. Matthew 28, please. Matthew chapter 28. Come on, I want you to see this. This is great. This is now okay. So you've got the bodies down in the tomb. The ladies have kind of watched this thing unfold. They know where Jesus is buried. So now we pick it up in verse 28. It says this. Now, after the Sabbath, it began a dawn. Verse 1, verse 28, verse 1. It began a dawn towards the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. Now, I laugh about this. I was thinking about this through the week, and I was talking to a few people about this. Like, when we get to heaven, like, I'm expecting, like you know, a meet and greet. Right, like we get to heaven, we're like, hey, my name is Sean Overfell. Yay, this is great. And like this whole meet and greet, like who's old school? Like maybe you had like old school church and you did like the ice cream socials. Right, anybody here did ice cream socials, right? You went to church, like my mom and dad, that we love the ice cream socials, right? We went to the ice cream socials and I was like, hey, do you wanna go to the ice cream socials? Like I didn't, like I had a, like they would ask, like we're going to church. And like I didn't have a chance. Like Sunday morning, you guys are lucky, by the way. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night was church, and they just dragged us kids to church. You talk about parents who drug their children. They drugged us, like they did. They drugged us, and they drugged us to church Sunday morning. And then we went to church probably 40 minutes away. I know what it's like. Pumped that you guys drive that far, but could you imagine coming back tonight every Sunday, not just Seek. Every Sunday for and then, you know, and then you go Wednesday and you're driving 40 minutes for, I'm like, man, But I'm grateful. But when he mentioned ice cream social, you're like, oh yeah, I want to do that. I want to eat ice cream. And my dad just loves ice cream. And he would say, well, you know, Breyers. We like Breyers because Breyers is the coldest ice cream. I'm like, you know, when you get old enough to say, you know, dad, like all ice cream's cold. It kind of has to be. Or it's soup. Like, no, it's Sean, it's the coldest ice cream. Like, I can't tell you hundreds of times, like, oh, we need Breyers because it's the coldest ice cream. I'm like, that is ice cream. It's all frozen. It has to be. There's a certain temperature that freezes the ice cream. No, it's the coldest ice cream. I love it. Love my dad, and I honor my father, and we're excited to live in that house. But when you get to the meet and greet in heaven, hi, I'm Mary Magdalene. Oh, good. Who are you? I'm the other Mary. Huh? Yeah, I'm the other Mary. I'm the other one that nobody really knows. But there's Mary Magdalene, and there's, you know, the mother of Jesus is Mary, and I'm the other one. Like, could you imagine, like, meet and greet in heaven, and you're that lady, right? You're the other Mary. But here, the other Mary was there at the tomb. This is crazy, right? And it says this, and behold, a severe, look at the when you read the scripture, I want it to just come alive to you. I want it to look at like, ha, like this really happened. Like this is something that really happened, right? We know that at the cross, there was an earthquake. And at the earthquake, man, there was, that. Whether it was there or here, it's not exactly clear. I think it was more at the cross. Man, there was like dead people came out of the grave and walked around. Like, do you really think that happened? Yeah, I do. Like, I think there was like some weird, crazy dead people that walked up and who had a good reverence, fear of the Lord. And then they were raised from the dead, resurrected to go home. Like, it's a crazy story of what happens sometimes around Jesus and the cross and the resurrection. And here we see it again, man. There is a severe earthquake. That's crazy. A severe earthquake occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. I love that. He rolled away, earthquake happens, he comes down, an angel of the Lord, he's brilliant, he's like lightning, and he just moves this stone, and then he just comes and say, sits on it, say, ha, now what? Like, I love where the angel just sits on the stone as like, yeah, hey, everyone want to see? Ah, it's empty. And then check this out. Watch verse 4. And the guards shook for fear, and they became like dead men. These are the big temple guards that were placed in charge of the grave so that nobody would come steal the body. That was another lie that went around. Like, hey, they're going to come steal the body, so let's just go put some temple guards, and they're going to say that he was raised from the dead, but they actually stole the body. That's another lie that goes around. You got these big temple guards, and here they're guarding it, and all of a sudden an angel shows up. The earth begins to move, and there's a big earthquake. The angel moves the stone, sits on the stone, and you've got these big burly guards, and they just are like frozen. They're frozen. And I believe that they just kind of, and then they fainted. Like a bunch of little girls, that's what they were doing. Like, they're just like, ah, wham, and then they were out, right? Like, this is the big guards, they're done. Like, they couldn't handle this, right? They were out, they shook for fear. The word shook for fear, it means that they were so afraid they couldn't stop. So much so, they just fainted. And then an angel said to the women, yeah, didn't happen to the women though. They're like, you silly little guards, what's wrong with you guys, right? And then he said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you were looking for Jesus, whom has been crucified, but he is not here, for he is risen. Hey, ladies, I know why you're here. You're looking for Jesus. And why did they come to look for Jesus? They didn't look to see if Jesus was raised from the dead. They came with their own spices, and they came with their own anointing perfume because they wanted to somehow, some way get into this tomb. We have no idea. There's this conversation. How are we going to move the stone? How do we get through this? What are we going to do? We need to get to Jesus' body. We need to prepare his body. We need to put the spices and the anointing oil, and we just got to take care. Like, they weren't looking for the tomb to be empty. Nobody was. Nobody was. And I love what the angel says here. Listen, third day hit. Peter wasn't there. John wasn't there. There wasn't any disciples there. Nobody was there just waiting to see is the tomb empty? They just didn't get it, church. They didn't get it. The angel reminds them. Watch what he says. I love this. He says this, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. Watch this. Just as he said. Just as he said. Remember, he told you, listen, hey, guys, this is how it's going to go. I'm going to get arrested. Listen, they're going to hate me. I'm going to get arrested. They're going to kill me. But on the third day, I'm going to raise from the dead. Hey, guys, I need you to know they're going to hate me and they're going to arrest me and they're going to kill me. And on the third day, I'm going to be raised from the dead. Hey, guys, listen. I need you guys to pay attention. This is what's going to happen. Listen, they're going to hate me and they're going to arrest me and they're going to kill me. But on the third day, I will live. On the third day, I will be raised. Like, it's amazing that the angel says, hey, ladies, he is risen. He's not here. Just as he told you. Church, what is it? Truly, I love this. What is it to take him at his word? What is it when you and I actually take Jesus at his word? We take the word of God for what the word of God says, just as he said. But here, you and I are special because we have the whole thing written down for us. They didn't have that. They actually had the actual words of Jesus. Hey, this is what's going to happen. You and I have it written down so we can reread it and understand that this is the word of God. This is what God put on paper from Old Testament to New Testament. Every part of this is vitally important for us to know. No, God said that. How do you not know that? God said that. This is what he said. We have to believe this just as he said. Like, we have the special privilege of this amazing word of God for you and I to study and to dive into and to know who God is and to know the truth of God's word and to know Jesus on a deep level because he wrote it all down for us and we know what he says. Why don't we just take him at his word? Why can't we just take him at his word and believe what he said? So then this takes place. The ladies, like, watch this. I love this. You know, and he tells them, listen, just as he said, come and see the place where he was lying. Hey, listen, ladies, come in. Check out the tomb. Come check it out. And you can read this account in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's just, we don't have time to unpack where Mary Magdalene is. She saw the open tomb. I believe she blitzed, ran back to try to find the disciples. I don't believe Mary Magdalene was here for all of this. I believe she comes back. Like, there's just too much in that. Please study that. It's fascinating. John's account and then Matthew, Mark, and Luke's account. And you can try to seem to put pieces together. Today's not that message. I don't have time for that. But it's just, it's interesting when he says, hey, listen, ladies, come in. I want you to see this. And church, we know by scripture that Jesus' resurrected body, when he was truly raised from the dead, we know that he walked through walls. We know that he was transient in his body where he could just walk through walls. Please understand this. It wasn't as the earth quaked and the angel moved this huge stone that then Jesus exited the tomb. That's not the case. Jesus was raised from the dead, his body in full and intact, and he walked through the wall. The tomb was empty to prove that Jesus is absolutely alive, and it was for everyone to be able to look in and see his body is not here. No, he is risen. No, he is alive. So here this angel is now proving to these ladies, hey, this is the deal. Jesus lives. Jesus, you saw him dead on a cross. You saw that he was crucified, but he's not here because he is risen just as he said. Now what? I need you to come in. Come into the tomb and look and see where he was. This is where he was. And then he says this, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. And there you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Behold, he says, I have told you. These things are true. Church, what happens when you and I and our faith have to believe Romans' account to say this, confess with your mouth that he is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. You cannot have one without the other. Yes, I believe that he is Lord, but the resurrection's questionable. It's not questionable and it cannot be questionable. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the resurrection piece. Church, this is our hope. This is our confidence that Jesus Christ is the Son of God with great power because of the resurrection. This gives us that authority to say, I will live forever because of the resurrection. This conquers and in a way of gives us hope, and it gives us the authority to know death has been defeated. Satan has no play with me. No, sin has been conquered by the cross, and yet death has been conquered by the resurrection. Amen. I know that if I breathe my last, I am present with him. Church, this is our hope. This is a foundation piece to our Christian faith. If there is no resurrection, there is no Christianity. We've got to get this. This is huge. This is huge. Come on, 1 Corinthians 15, please. Let's try to close this thing out a little bit here. We got a few more minutes. Don't get all excited when I say close it out. We're still in for 15, so just be with me here. Come on, are you with me? BC, you with me? All right, I like it. 11 o'clock, got some juice. I like that. Come on. Man, I was so excited to bring this. And don't forget, we're going somewhere. Right, we're going somewhere. We've got to get to a place today for the close. There is a therefore. So if I truly believe in the resurrection, and this is my faith, this is my hope, then I know this is true. Yes, Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. Yes, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father in power. Yes, I know that I have the victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. Satan doesn't have a chance with me because of Jesus. Like, if I know this and I believe this, please hear me. There's a charge to this. There's a call to this if you believe this. There is a therefore. And when you see the reality of the victory over death, then you can really begin to unpack this and say, no, this is so important for me. Church, please hear me, man. Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? I mean, do you really know Jesus? Like, okay, God loved the world. I get it. John 3:16, send his son to die for me. Like, no, it's on us to repent and believe. It's on you to really believe this story. Faith is belief. Believe in him. Believe that God raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. Like, do you really know Christ? Like, this is a day that you'd be like, man, I've just been feeling this push. I've been feeling this direction. I've heard this. Seeds have been planted. Oh, man, somebody's been just tugging at me to go to church, or someone's been talking to me in Walmart. They gave me this thing called the tract. I don't know what that is, but then I read it and I was like, ah, Jesus for me. Woo, maybe I need this. Like, who knows how the seed gets planted, but I'm asking you a deep, deep question, man. Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? Because we must believe in the resurrection. We must believe in the resurrection. And you see this in 1 Corinthians 15. And you see where Paul begins to go through this. And you got to remember, man, the Corinthian church was just a train wreck. The Corinthian church was a mess. Right? The Corinthian church, they had people stealing money. People were getting drunk on communion. Ours is only grape juice. Good luck with chugging the grape juice. Not going to happen here, right? But true story, they're getting drunk on the communion. Crazy in church, getting drunk on communion. Okay, that church is a mess, right? Prostitutes outside the church doors, like literally outside the temple doors, taking dudes home with them. Like, okay, that like just shouldn't happen, right? So when you're looking at Paul and he's writing to the Corinthian church, he's writing in a very corrective way. So we've got to see this because he brings some depth to this resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 is one full chapter that just deals with the truth of resurrection. It deals with the truth, a whole chapter, to a messed up church to say, no, the resurrection is real. The resurrection is true. The resurrection gives us power. The resurrection gives us victory. The resurrection gives us the triumph. And there were lies that were creeping into the Corinthian church. There were false teachers creeping into the Corinthian church. And one of those lies was that there is no resurrection. There's a group of teachers called the Sadducees. Right, they are sad, you see. Because they didn't believe in the resurrection and they were teaching this. And Paul had to deeply, quickly, firmly fix this false teaching. And church, please hear this, man. When you really understand the depth of the resurrection and the victory that is ours because of it, when you really believe, no, death has been defeated. No, 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 death is dead. No, 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 like, if I die, I live. Like, no, I have no fear of death because I know that, watch this, please hear me. If you really believe that when I die, life really truly begins. For I live my life here and it's short and it's a breath and it's a twinkle. This is my life here. But when I die, that's when real life begins. That's when eternal life begins. That's when the truth of gold streets, man, this is when this really happens, is after I die, I will live absent from this body is to be home with the Lord, all because of the resurrection. This is how serious this teaching is. And Paul comes in with a deep correction. Verse 3, he says this, "For I delivered to you as of first importance." He's like, guys, this is top teaching here. This is most important. You got to get this. This is what Paul is saying. We teach a lot of different things. But Paul's like, you got to get this. And church, I love churches that teach and preach like these guys did. I love to listen to pastors who are preaching and teaching like Paul did, like Peter did, like James did, like Jesus did, like John the Baptist did, like Timothy did. When you see these guys, just they're preaching truth. They're preaching repent and believe. They're preaching trust in Jesus. They're preaching what it really means to walk a life that honors and glorifies the Lord. This is what they're preaching. I don't want fluffy preaching. I don't want self-help book preaching. I want preaching like go and do this. Go and sin no more. Go and understand repentance. Go and trust in the Lord. Go and lead other people to Christ. Go and be evangelistic. Like, this is how they preached. This is how we preach here. I want to preach like they preached. I want to preach what they preached. And this is Paul. He's saying, hey, you got to get this. This is of most importance. You got to understand this. And watch it. This is what he says. For I delivered to you of first importance that I also received that Christ died for your sins, for our sins, according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas and the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 people. Like, it is proof positive fact that Jesus was dead on a cross. He was buried in a tomb dead. And then he was alive walking around and showed himself to over 500 people. That is proof positive. That negates any lie. And this is what Paul is making a point here. Saying, listen, he didn't fall asleep on the cross and pass out because of the pain. No, he died. No, wait a minute. The disciples didn't come steal his body. No, he was dead in that tomb. Temple guards surrounded that tomb so that wouldn't happen. No, Jesus is alive, and it's proof positive because as a resurrected man, he walked around to over 500 people. And church, you got to know something. Like, once the disciples had their encounter with Jesus and they bought into the truth that, no, our Lord lives. No, our Lord lives. What he said is true. They did hate him. And they did arrest him. And they did kill him. And he is alive today. And when the disciples caught that truth, they were never the same. They were never the same. The resurrection changed everything for them. You've got to get this. Just days before this, they were denying. They were running. They were fleeing. They wanted nothing to do with it. This is how powerful the resurrection is for you and I. Is when you really know, wait a minute, Jesus is exactly who he said he is. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. He is King Eternal. This is my Jesus. He lives. It changes everything. Paul's like, this is of first importance. You've got to get this. And then he goes into how important the resurrection truly is. And you look at verse 17, he says this. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you're still in your sin. He says, there's no hope for you. If Christ was never raised from the dead, if all of it was just a joke, then everything you believe, worthless. It has zero value. And you die in your sin. There's no hope. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. No hope. 19. And if we hoped in Jesus in this life only, we are of all men to be pitied. Like, he's like, hey, listen, if it's true that Jesus Christ never was raised from the dead, yeah, we're the biggest fools on the planet. If for this life only, the short life that we lived as we breathed his air, if we only live for him here, we are of most all men that we should be pitied. We should be laughed at. We're a joke. We bought into a lie. And Paul's making a point here to say, guys, this is how serious this is. This is how important the resurrection is. Confess him as Lord and believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead. You got to believe that because it's true. He says, if it's not true, this is how important the resurrection is. This is why we celebrate the way we celebrate today. This is why we're all in our ties and looking our best for this day. This is why it's a packed house today, because this is it for us. This is everything for us to realize the power. I love this. The power of the resurrection. It changes everything. Church, it changes everything. But then he says this. But now Christ has been raised from the dead. But Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by man came death, and by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, but also in Christ all will be made alive. Church, there is a power over death because the resurrection is true. Can you put up Acts 2, please? I want you to see this. I want you to see this. This is Peter. This is Peter, and this is one of Peter's first messages. How important is it that when we preach on the resurrection? We believe that Jesus is alive. We know that he sits at the right hand of the Father. And this is Peter, and he's just like, when you see, Peter's a changed man because Jesus lives. He's a changed man because he saw Jesus, this man, delivered over by the predetermined plan of the foreknowledge of God. The predetermined plan that he was, and that was what Good Friday was about. It's like, listen, everybody thought that they were in charge. Like, everyone thought, hey, we got him now. Oh, he's us. Judas is going to take us to him. You know, the chief priest thought, now we got him. This is what we've been waiting for. Pilate's like, listen, I'm in charge here, Jesus. Jesus like, listen, bro, you got no authority over me, and that's been given from above. And here we see this completely nailed in. As Peter's preaching, he says, this man, Jesus, delivered over. Why? How? It was all a predetermined plan. God the Father's up there, and he used Pilate, and he used Judas, and he used the chief priest, and he used the Sanhedrin, and he used the crowd. All his plan. They were all under his authority. They were all being used by him. And you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men, put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Church, that's a powerful verse. That's a powerful verse. If you don't know Jesus, death is agonizing. If you reject truth and you say no to Jesus, and you say, I'll figure it out myself, or I believe in a different religion. I believe in a different way. I believe in Jesus himself said, listen, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father but through me. Jesus says, I'm the only way, man. You got to go through me. I am the door. I am the sheep gate. Man, you got to go through me in order to get to eternal life pasture. That is it. I'm the only way. And if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, death will be agonizing for you in eternal life in a place called hell that was created for Satan and his demons. But if you trust in Jesus Christ and you really believe, no, wait, I need to repent from my sin and turn from my sin, and I believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and I have victory over death because Jesus Christ is now sitting at the right hand of the Father alive, what is it? You never have to fear the agony of death. It couldn't hold Jesus, and it will never hold you. John 11, Jesus says something so clear here, and I want you to see this. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Like when you keep it up there, please. When you understand that when I die, that's done. That's like the beginning. Like I love this for me. I'm 53. I want many times. Either Jesus comes today, which would be amazing. We can all go. Or I got a lot to do. Church, I'm not like one who says, oh, I wish I could go home to Jesus. Like, Jesus, I got a lot to do. Man, we're busy, and this church is growing, and God is doing a great work in this house. I'm not ready to go anywhere just yet. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow, like we talked about that last week. But, man, I'm excited about having some longevity here for the work of the Lord. But I know this, that the moment I die, the moment I breathe my last, that's when life begins for me. That's when it really happens. Look what Jesus says. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. He just simply says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Now let's get to the therefore. That's what we need to close with here. Come on. We look at this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. It says this. But when this perishable will be put on imperishable, and the mortal will put on immortality, that's life forever. And it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. Watch this. Here it is. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory over what? Over death. But thanks be to God who gave us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus Christ on a cross, he dealt with the sin issue. Jesus Christ, dead, buried. Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, he gave us victory over death. It can no longer hold Jesus, and it can no longer hold you. But here it is. Watch this. Paul is saying, if you believe all of this, this whole chapter is about the resurrection. He says, if you truly believe in the resurrection, then there's a charge to this. There's a call at this. If you believe all of this, then he says, therefore. 57 verses to get to the therefore. I love this verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, if you really believe that you've got victory, if you really believe that absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, if you really believe that sin has been dealt with, death has been dealt with, that death is no more, death is dead for me because of Jeff, I believe that, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable. You look at the disciples. The resurrection changed them. They were steadfast and immovable. They were firm. They believed. They were an immovable object. They were completely persuaded where no one and nothing could ever teach them or show them or tell them anything that was outside of what they were firm on. Be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work in him is not in vain. Be steadfast and immovable. I'm going to take up a position that I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am going to take up a position that I believe that this is true. I'm going to take up a position that I'm going to walk strong in Jesus. I'm going to take up a position that I will take the hits if necessary to stand firm on this word. I will not be moved. I'm not going to let a false teacher come in. I'm not going to let some stupid YouTube TV or some crazy TikToker come in and rearrange what I believe. No, I am steadfast and I am immovable. No, I believe that this is true and there's nothing that's going to shake me. The Bible says the righteous will not be shaken. The righteous will not be shaken. I am firm. I am walking in a way that is right with the Lord, and I will not be shaken. This is what Paul is saying to this. He's like, listen, if you believe that you have the victory, then you need to be steadfast and you need to be not movable. Don't let anything come in and move you. Again, he's teaching this to the church that's crazy. They were a train wreck. And he's like, hey, get back on target. Get back on target. You let so much come in and move you. You let so much come in. Man, you were in this wave of doubt all over the place. He's like, get it back. If you really believe you got the victory, then there should be a charge to this. Be steadfast and immovable. Always, always abounding. I love this. Always means at all times, abounding. Abounding means to overflow. It means to excel above the ordinary. I love this word. At all times, you and I need to be excelling above the ordinary. Like, isn't it amazing that you literally, the Bible says you should be extraordinary? Like, you shouldn't just be plain Jane. You should be extraordinary. You should be going above and beyond at all times. Like, this is what this is saying. Be steadfast and immovable, always abounding, always going above and beyond, always being extraordinary. What? In the work of the Lord. Doing his work, doing his kingdom business, doing what he's called you to do, and be extraordinary at it. Go above and beyond in it. Why? Because it's worth it. No, I believe the resurrection is true. And Paul's like, if you believe that, then there's a charge that will change you. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Here it is. Watch this. Knowing. Man, I know. I know that my labor, I know that my toil, I know that my work in him, it's not empty. It's not a waste. There's value in it. There's purpose in it. There's work in it. Man, if you stand for Christ, there's times that you're going to take that hit. When you truly are steadfast and immovable and you're not ashamed of the gospel, you will take hits. There'll be people who come against you, and maybe there's people coming against you right now. Maybe you're in a season of persecution. Maybe that's true. Maybe as you stand firm on God's word, as you stand firm on the truth of God's word, on what God says, maybe there might be family who come against you. Maybe there's work people who come against you. Maybe you've actually lost your job. Maybe you're taking these persecution hits, but you're standing firm, and you're standing firm, and you're excelling above them all, and you're walking into places and say, wait a minute, the Bible is true. I am called to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, doing his work, standing firm on him, because I know, I am persuaded that all of the labor is worth it. It's not a waste of time. It's not empty. Jesus sees it all. And there is a day, church, that you and I get to go before the throne and cast our crowns before our King of all that we have done. And I promise you that it's worth it, because his word promises you. He says it's worth it. It's not a waste. It's value in it. It's not empty. It's not worthless. I love this. All of that comes after this deep teaching on the resurrection. And I pray that, man, if you truly understand this teaching, that something shifts in you today. Say, Lord, it's time to be steadfast and immovable. It's time to excel above the ordinary in my work for him. And I know that the labor and the hard work, it's not a waste of time. I could take some hits, I can go through the persecution, because there's a day that I get to lay my crowns before my King. And I get to be with him forever and ever and ever. This is the resurrection. Come on, if we could stand to our feet, please. Come on, where are you in this today? Man, today's a challenge, and it's a call, just as Paul called the church to say, hey, listen, if you believe this, then there's a therefore. And if you need prayer for any reason, man, we want to pray with you this morning. Man, if you want to talk more about Jesus, you don't know Jesus, you're like, man, I need to know Jesus. I know that I am lost. And man, I know that if I don't have the Son, I don't have eternal life. The Bible is very clear. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have eternal life. It's just so simple. If you have Jesus and you believe in Christ and you've repented from your sin and you know that he is alive today, the Bible says you are saved, you are safe. But if we reject that truth and you're an unbeliever, you don't believe, and the Bible says you have rejected that, and the only way for you, the only way to eternal life is through Jesus, and you've rejected that way, you've closed that door, then that leads to an eternal life of separation from him forever. If you want to talk more about Jesus, we want to talk to you about Jesus. Don't be shy about it. Come up. As we sing and we close out today, I wish you a happy, a true happy resurrection day, and I hope that it is filled truly with family, with celebration, but in the right place to know that we truly have the victory. Come